Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Toughman Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. By Polar, chase your destiny. By Premium Plus Sports, official travel partner of the Toughman Triathlon Series. By USA-SwimRun.com, awesome races and awesome places. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, last year we sent out 2,806 grants, totaling $4.3 million to keep challenged athletes in the game alive through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, 2011 Ultra Runner of the Year, Mr. Dave Mackey. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So Dave, take me back. Did you grow up in Colorado?
No, I grew up in Maine. And I was there till age 18, went to college in New Hampshire, and then transferred to Colorado. I spent a couple of years in California for grad school and 1 year in Minnesota, but otherwise Colorado's home.
Now, what were your sports growing up? Was it always running?
It was pretty much team sports. Running was just incidental to the team sport aspects. A lot of soccer and baseball and ice hockey, and I ran track and field my senior year in college, and then I kind of just picked up running more in college to stay in shape for soccer, and just ran in the trails, in New Hampshire near the campus, and then once I moved to Colorado, I got into trail running. That's where that really started.
And what year was that when you first got into trail running?
I moved to Colorado in 93, and started trail running kind of, those years just before and after. And then I did a trail race in Leadville, which is where I'm sitting right now.
Right.
It's the Leadville, it was called the Mosquito Marathon at that time. I did the half marathon version, that is the Breckenridge Crest Mountain Marathon, which is 1995, which was actually put together by the Breckenridge Outdoor Education Center as a fundraiser for them.
Gotcha.
Where I used to work back at that time.
Now, so when you were at Breckenridge, you were working with adaptive athletes, some of the skiers and things like that.
Yeah, the BOEC. I haven't been in touch with them in like 4 or 5 years.
Right.
The most recent, that time, the goals were to, adapt to sports for people with all abilities.
Right.
And I worked on their wilderness program, which was, and their adaptive ski program here and there, but mostly their wilderness program, which was adapting outdoor wilderness programs and team building experiences for people with disabilities. We worked with everybody, though. It's good. IBM corporate groups to Hoods in the Woods type programs to Vietnam veterans. And
very cool.
Most of it was people with disabilities. Yeah.
So 2011 Ultra Runner of the Year, were you traveling around doing Western States, Leadville, all the biggies?
Yeah, I did for about 15 years. I was and still am a sponsored athlete. And so up until, I fell off a mountain in 2015. I was going around the country and the world doing anywhere from, marathon to 50-kilometer to 100-mile trail races, and then multi-day adventure races, too.
Oh, so you were an adventure guy. So eco-challenge, that type of stuff?
Yeah, I knew eco-challenge. I kind of shut down around the time I got into adventure racing, but the raid...
Uh-huh. Yep.
World Championship, they called it, and then there's like a U.S. or World
right.
Adventure Racing Championship, too. And so those were some of the good times.
So, May 2015, and I'm assuming on Bear Peak, you've probably run that route a million times, right? But what happened that day?
I was just out for a regular run. I was out for approximately 3 hours and just went from my door out to South Boulder Peak and then to a friend up there, and then we're at the Bear Peak, which is almost the same mountain. And on the backside of the peak, I have this little down climb that I like to do. It's like, you know, third, fourth class. You know, you don't want to fall, but it's really good hand and foot holds. But one of the rocks I stepped on just gave way. It was like a 300-pound rock.
Wow.
And I tumbled. I sort of had a semi-controlled, almost uncontrolled fall for about 60 feet, like 50 feet, actually, and somehow landed on my back in all this talus. But the rock, and so I survived the fall, but the rock that I stepped on kept on, and that landed on my left tibia.
Oh, so you're stuck on the rock.
Yeah. And luckily I'd just run into my friend, Paul Gross, and he got the rock off me, called 911, and called some of our friends who happened to actually be up there running that day in the area. And friends showed up, Paul helped me out, and eventually the rescue group got there and lifted me out. It's like a 5-hour rescue.
Wow.
But, you know, luckily the fall, you know, I didn't die from the fall, which is just astounding if you see the terrain up there any time. But I hit my head and I landed on my back, but I didn't have any injuries, no brain injuries, no chest injuries. And the rock was the only thing that really affected me.
Wow.
So with that open tibial fracture, I went to surgery that night. And they, you know, put the pieces together, but I don't think the level of contamination was appreciated at that time. I ended up being transferred down to Denver from the Boulder Hospital a couple of days later, and they irrigated out the wound again because they were going to do some soft tissue work, and they were still finding bits of grass in there. So I guess infection is what led me to choose to have the leg amputated a year and a half later. It was actually the day after Halloween in 2016. Just they had a lot of complications, you know, in that year and a half after the accident. And knowing that there are, having worked with people with disabilities and knowing there are people out there running amazing things and Ironman and a lot of other stuff, but I knew the amputation wasn't the end of it all. So I knew that I could probably, you know, live, do all the same stuff I did before.
Wow.
With an amputation, so.
17 months, 13 surgeries, infections in your bone and muscle grafts, excessive scar tissue. So it started, mm-hmm. You had a rod inserted in the tibia. And then how long, so, you know, 17 months or so before you finally, the doctor said, hey, it might be time to amputate?
I'm the one who kind of came to that conclusion.
Yep.
More than the medical. I work as a PA, so I kind of know what.
Yep, you knew what was going
background
on.
Any reasonable person might draw the same conclusion without any medical background. But it was, you know, the rod is moving around. There's chronic pain. There's a lot of scar tissue, and I'd had a couple surgeries to clean out scar tissue. The infection was still there, and despite IV antibiotics, it was still present. The bone graft, you know, which was where the failed surgery to fix the bone happened, that had failed. And so I could have revised, all that with likely failure. But I got a distracting child in the background here. juggling family and work and life. but it was, I knew the best choice was to probably amputate, because I could have done a lot more for as far as surgeries go, but there's likely would not have worked.
And were you basically walking around, were you on crutches and a cane and things like that?
Yeah, I was on a cane, and I could ride my bike and, you know, without any kind of aid, but it was, I was on a cane, and that was probably how I would have stayed. I mean, if I'd been sedentary my whole life and didn't want to get back into, you know, what I was doing all the time, what I loved to do, then I, you know, could have lived with my leg. But, you know, I wanted to move on and make the best of it. And, yeah, the decision to have it taken off was mine, which is, you know, it was good to, you know, have that in a lot of ways. And I know a lot of people go through trauma and they wake up and they're like, what happened? Like, oh, you're in a car accident. Or something happened. You don't have a leg anymore. So for me, it was, you know, a process of deciding, have it done, and which is fortunate, I guess, in a lot of ways. But yeah, I'm happy I did it, given the information I had at the time. And, yeah, life is good.
So as a PA, you've obviously seen a lot of different things. And did that help in terms of recovery from that after the amputation?
It did. I mean, I guess it's, I didn't, as far as working as a PA, I don't see, you know, in my clinical rotation, I'd seen people who had, you know, had trauma going on. That was more short term though, but as far as the actual long term recovery,
right,
especially, you know, as an amputee, I had no idea. I thought it'd be, okay, this is going to be done. I'm going to put it for a prosthetic. I'll be running in 6 weeks.
Right. Yeah.
No. it's, and yeah, my prosthetists they're awesome. They said, yeah, it's going to take a while, take a year. And that's what it took basically. And maybe like I went for some runs in 8 months after the amputation, but up to that, it was all adapting the prosthetic. So, you know, coming in with some kind of medical knowledge, I didn't really appreciate what it really takes to adapt to a prosthetic and a socket.
So you dealt with phantom pain for about 6 weeks. And mm-hmm. January 2017, you hike back up Bear Peak and shot a little video. Uh-huh. But I read it wasn't, I thought it would be emotional, but for you, it wasn't.
It was
closure
that day. It was a little bit, but not totally like cathartic or anything.
Right.
It was more, yeah, I'm kind of like that. I'm pretty, I don't know, get it done kind
right.
of person, or
yep.
just kind of like, I don't know, I'm not like, you know, a non-empathetic person or anything like that, but I'm more like, okay, it happened, let's make the best of it and move on. And so it wasn't, yeah, I wasn't in tears crying on the rock or anything, but it was, it was still impactful though. I didn't plan on going up there that day. When I did, it was just like, oh, I feel kind of good. I'm going to keep going. And all of a sudden, it was on top of Bear Peak.
Wow.
Okay. And, you know, the more, you know, I've talked with it, talked about the accident, everything happened with people up there on the peak. And, you know, that's a little more emotional. But, I guess my way of coping is to just make the best of it.
Sure.
And move on.
So mid April of last year was when you were able to run again a little bit.
I think it was around then. I got a running blade, and the fit was a little better, so I was able to get some short runs.
Yeah.
But then I did, you know, I was doing that. The fit was still like my limb was still atrophying, and so the fit of the socket wasn't right. So I was getting abrasion. And it's just creating more problems because I get abrasion, then I have to, you know, be inactive and in pain for a couple of weeks more and then recover. So I decided to just, you know, I could hike. So I did that throughout the summer. But I really didn't start running again until November last year. And when I did, I thought, okay, I feel like I'm good. I'm gonna sign up for, you know, a trail run and see if I can do it. And so I set my goal of running a 50K trail race in Texas, signed up, and I'd done that race before when I, you know, had two legs, and I kind of knew what I was getting into, and it went really well. It was great.
How'd you do?
It was a pretty rough trail in hill country of Texas.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So I think I was, place-wise, don't remember. I think I was 40th or 50th or
so
out of
that's the first time back. That's amazing. What did you find when you were? I mean, obviously you'd run that race with two legs. Now you ran it with a leg and a prosthetic. What were, you know, is your running along? What were your thoughts afterwards on, you know what, I think I can get back and do what I was doing before?
Yeah. I had a couple goals to reach to run that 50K. And then I thought I would be able to run 100K actually 6 weeks later, which is completely reasonable. But I had a little muscle tweak in my gluteus, which is kind of unrelated to actually having, you know, a prosthetic.
Right,
it just kind
right.
of happened incidentally. And so I couldn't do the 100K. But I, during the race, you know, for me, that was a stepping stone. And it went smooth, and, you know, I was very happy. For me, during the race, I felt good. I felt, my brother actually ran his first ultra ever during the same race. He came out, and so for him to do the whole race, you know, almost entirely hand in hand with him, was really cool.
That's very cool.
So it was great to share it with, you know, family. And now he's actually going to run his first 50 mile this year too.
Very cool. So were you always a mountain biker as well?
Since the 80s, I think it's been mountain biking. When everything was rigid back then,
right?
I've loved mountain biking, but more as I didn't do it for adventure races, which you kind of have to be pretty good at it for that. And so, yeah, it's a cross training thing, and just for fun, I love mountain biking.
What was easier to come back from with the prosthetic leg in terms of, was the trail running harder? Was mountain biking harder? Or were they basically about the same?
The trail running definitely harder with the impact and the, probably in the amputees too, you know, with the pistoning of the socket, it's rubbing with, there's no real pistoning with biking, but with the running, that's there. And, the biking is more forgiving as far as fit goes. So yeah, I was biking a lot more before I was running. Just doing trail rides around Boulder.
One of the things our folks find when they come back from this and they get a prosthetic leg, a lot of times because the weight is different on each, you know, you have a able-bodied leg and you've got a prosthetic leg, and sometimes that tweaks the back and other issues come up because of that. Any issues like that for you?
No, actually, I just went for a run. Before I talked to you, and I was thinking about that. Like I've been lucky. I haven't had anything.
Very cool.
I had this little gluteal tweak right after that 50K race, but I really think that was unrelated to the prosthetic. I think it was, I can't remember. I think I stepped wrong or something like that.
Right.
And, but otherwise, I've been, the rest of my body's actually adapted well to the prosthetic. I have on my amputated leg, I do not have my fastest lateralis muscle, you know, lateral thigh muscle.
Uh-huh.
They took that out when they were shaved the lower legs. They took that muscle out, and so I have a little bit of muscle weakness in the left thigh, which is the amputated side. But actually, I think there's been a lot of good compensation and strengthening in that leg overall to make up for it in the muscles that do exist. No problems otherwise. That's my body.
I love how you jump right back in. Basically, you started running last year, and now you're doing Lead Man. For our listeners, the Lead Man is five events over the summer?
You can five. You have to do five, or you can do six. I'm going to do six.
You're going to do six?
There's this thing. Two weeks ago was there's five races you have to do, the marathon, the 50-mile mountain bike or 50-mile run, which was 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And then there's the 10K run and the Leadville 100s, which are the 100-mile bike and then the
100-mile run.
Yeah. So 2 weeks ago was the 50-mile weekend, and on the Saturdays, the 50-mile mountain bike race, and then the next day is the 50-mile run, and I wanted to do both of them, so I did that. And the run is more for training and just seeing, making sure I can do that distance before I jump up to 100 miles next month.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty damn amazing that you're, because when you're at Leadville, what are you? You go up to what, 12, 13,000 feet?
Yeah.
14,000, yeah.
Yeah, 13 something, yeah.
And you felt okay after doing the 50-mile mountain bike and 50-mile run the next day?
Yeah, after the mountain bike, I felt great. Yeah, that went awesome. And the trail marathon, which was in June, that went great. The 50-mile run the next day felt good, except for the outsole on my blade fell off halfway through it.
Besides the fact my leg fell off, everything else was good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the tip of the outsole came off. I don't think I glued it right or something, but so I finished it with the tip of the carbon fiber sticking out and kicking rocks, and that completely
destroyed
it. So yeah. But I got an Oster sent me a new blade, which is awesome.
Very cool.
The Flex Run blade, and so I've been running. Actually, today was the longest run I've done that since the race. I ran 11 miles today. Yeah, feel good. I had some skin issues after the 50-mile run, some abrasion, so I think with some adjustments, I think I'll be okay at 100.
It's funny because people don't quite understand that when you're putting your leg in the socket, that if you gain a little bit of weight, if you lose a little bit of weight, if there's a lot of sweating going on, just the fit is so, you know, that just getting it just right is pretty tough.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. And it's, and a lot of people who aren't amputees, they don't know, and I didn't know before, you know, my accident amputation,
right.
But being as far as what it's like, and it's for me, it's just like learning how to run or walk again. And it's the fit of a foot of a shoe on anybody's foot is the same thing. You get blisters if the fit's wrong, and you get blisters on your stump if you don't have that socket there, right? So, same issues.
When you look back at everything you've accomplished, before this happened and after this happened, what do you look as the best race you've ever had?
Before the amputation?
Either before or after?
Probably amputees. There's life before and then life after.
Yes.
Yep. And for me, the beforehand, there's some races where I just performed the best, and where, you know, the ones that were, you know, kind of breakthrough performances, like the Western States 100, had a really good race there in 2004. And there are a couple like course records. There's not one that really stands out. For me now, it's like learning how to trail run again right now. And since the amputation, like the run, being able to run that first 50K and then 2 weeks ago running that first 50-mile, for me, those are the most seminal events, just to know that I can do it, to do
right.
Those distances over hard terrain and an altitude. So, it's almost like, you know, pushing the do-over button again and as far as where I'm going. So I don't know what's going to happen next. Next month should be okay.
Is it next month where you'll have both the 100-mile mountain bike and the 100-mile trail run?
The 100-mile mountain bike is on August 11th, so that Saturday. And the next day is a 10K run.
Right.
That's the fourth event in the series. And then the 100-mile run is August 18th.
Wow.
A week after the 100-mile bike. It's a big adjustment to go between those two events as far as muscle groups and whatnot.
Had you done the lead man before you lost your legs? Your legs?
Yeah, in 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And comparing time-wise, how do you look at it from what you did before and what you did now, time-wise, for the first couple of events?
Well, the marathon, when I had my legs, I ran I'd say 4:10, 4 hours, 10 minutes. And then I completely surprised myself this year and ran 4:50.
Oh, my God. Really? You were less than an hour off of that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think I was better acclimated this year, but it just clicked really well. The blade was, was awesome. I had no problem with the trouble with the technical aspects of it. And later in the race, felt actually stronger, I think, compared to most runners.
Mountain bike wise, were you within that same type of time frame?
I think I was a little bit, 50 minutes slower, I think.
Wow.
Than, 5:0 slower than when I did it before. So not that big a difference.
No, that is really, especially the first time out. I can imagine it next year, the year after you've, after you've done more of this. But, you've only been doing it a little over a year.
Uh-huh.
And to be back at that type of pace already. Are you getting, because you're a fairly public person, have you been getting calls from other people who are, either contemplating amputation or dealing with getting a prosthetic?
A couple here and there. Yeah, I have. And I guess it helps to know some of the medical side of it.
Sure,
but,
yes, absolutely.
I think it seemed like most people's concerns are what is it like afterwards? And if they're in that situation, it probably seems like they're going to lose their leg. And so I think reassurance that, life goes on is good. That's what I've tried to pass on for the most part.
Have your kids brought you to school for show and tell yet?
No, but I'm kind of like show and tell when I show up to school anyway. I've got one leg. Kids are great, though. They just kind of stare at you.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll come up and they'll say, well, how'd you get your robot leg?
Exactly.
That?
Robot
that?
Leg. That's always the word they use. Yeah. How about that robot leg?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Your dad is RoboCop. I like it.
Exactly.
So, Dave, after you finish Lead Man, you have some plans for the fall and maybe into next year?
Sure. Short term, I'm going to run New York City Marathon first weekend of November.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm definitely going to run the JFK 50-mile in Maryland a couple weeks after that. That's a ultra event. Alter is my footwear sponsor. After that, next year, I'm planning on running Western States 100.
Oh, nice.
I should be able to get an entry to that.
I think so.
And then, I wanted to go back to that and do that, with one,
have
one
you ever,
leg and prosthetic.
Have you ever run Catalina Marathon?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, we got it. It's next. It's in March, and I think it's been around since the late 70s. They take you on a boat to the other side of the island, and island off of LA. It's 26 miles off of LA, and basically it's 23 half miles of trail, and it's beautiful. There's points where there's ocean on all four sides. I mean, it's not your technical trail. It's a lot of fire road. But it is beautiful, and it's a you would dig it. It's a pretty fun event.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I'd like to do that someday.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So Dave,
I'm thinking about
have you done so many different? Have you done triathlon stuff as well?
I did one triathlon in 1995 on a whim, and I was it was a like a sprint, and I was dead last out of the water. It was just completely on a whim, and I'm not a good swimmer. So I was like out of 250 people, I was dead last.
But see, the positive is it's easy to find your bike.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very
yeah. I almost didn't survive.
Oh my God. Hey, so you met One Arm Willie Stewart going back how many years?
94, 95.
Wow.
Or so. Uh-huh.
He's a pretty tough athlete.
I just ran into him in the bike shop here in Leadville 2 weekends ago. I hadn't seen him in forever. Yeah, he's phenomenal. He did the lead man last year.
I know. I saw pictures of his feet after the 100-mile run.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I saw those. Those are great.
Hey Dave, congrats on everything you've done. It's so cool. I mean, it's amazing when you're, 4'10" with two legs and 4'50" with a prosthetic. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's with you just being fairly new to it. Wait till you really get the hang of it. You're going to start really kicking some butt.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I hope so. It's kind of fun learning all the. It's a new world for sure. But it keeps going well.
What's been the biggest surprise for you, going from the two-legged world to the prosthetic world?
Definitely the fit of the socket.
Yeah.
That's doing all the tricks and fixes to get it to be right, and then being off by just a little bit, it means you have an abrasion, and so there's less room for error and more room for like catastrophic failure out.
You're right.
For these races I'm doing, there's you're out there and I don't know, I could break something on the socket or the foot. I doubt I will, but yeah, I guess that could happen. And you're hopping around one foot looking for help.
Do you carry tools with you?
Just a little tiny Allen key. Yeah. So,
very cool.
Yeah, just figuring out those little tweaks. It's kind of the interface between, all the technology of the socket, carbon fiber to acrylics to interfacing with skin is pretty interesting. But hopefully, I'm still figuring that out. Like, I have some little chafes from my little run I just did today. I got some work to do.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for taking time. Congrats on everything you're accomplishing. Best of luck with the rest of the Leadman series.
Okay, great. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Dave Mackey has been our guest. Again, we're brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series, by Velo Fix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, by Polar, Chase Your Destiny, by Premium Plus Sports, by USA-Swimrun.com, by our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We just sent out 2,806 grants, totaling $4.3 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville and on iTunes. Until next time, remember, endurance lives here.